Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
On today's episode, we have a special guest talking about cannabis and sex practices. This episode is super juicy, and I am really excited to have this guest share with us some alternative sex practice ideas. Using cannabis can really help improve your blood flow. Cannabis can also help you relax, so this can be a really fun medicine to include in your sexual practice.
Before we jump into today's episode, I want to talk to you about my special Get the Sex You Desire workbook. This workbook is jam-packed with all kinds of different ways to receive pleasure. There are so many different varieties of ways to receive pleasure that you may not have ever thought about. And this helps you get really clear on what you would like to explore, what you definitely don't want to explore, and maybe some things that you're open to exploring. I highly recommend taking a look at this Get Your Sex You Desire workbook and completing it with your partner if you have one, and taking a look at the two and seeing maybe some things you might want to try. It is super fun. You can find the Get the Sex You Desire workbook at desire.vaginasvulvasandvibrators.com. I hope you enjoy.
On today's episode, we have Dee Drussel, the first yoga teacher to offer public cannabis yoga classes. Over the past decade, she has brought her classes, which she calls Ganja Yoga, to thousands of students in over a dozen U.S. cities. A seasoned yoga practitioner of 23 years, Dee is also an international speaker and the author of a best-selling book by the same name, Ganja Yoga. Dee's Ganja Yoga was featured in publications like New York Times and other major international media across the globe. Dee is a lover of bliss and also works as a sex coach. She specializes in tantric sex and cannabis-enhanced intimacy. Today, we are talking all about cannabis-enhanced intimacy with Dee. Dee, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Dee. I am the first cannabis-enhanced yoga instructor in the West, and I train other people in cannabis-enhanced yoga teaching. I'm also a sex coach, so I have pretty much the world's coolest job.
I love that. And I'm really curious to talk about like cannabis and sex practices and how that can really impact your sex practice. So why don't we just jump right in? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the sex coaching that I offer people is cannabis optional. So if they're not interested, we can still do sex coaching. It's from a mindful yoga sort of tantra based tradition. But if people are interested in using cannabis to enhance intimacy or arousal or connection with their partner, then there's a lot of different ways it can be used. So I provide education for people who are new to cannabis, who aren't aware of the medical properties and the way that it can help sex, or for people who already smoke and already have a relationship. It's using it kind of in a romantic-y way, you know, rolling that joint, maybe saying an intention as you guys roll together, like, okay, as we roll this up and as we smoke this, let's let tonight's date night really be about us and really be about the present moment. And you could even make the rolling and the consuming part of the foreplay, part of the ritual of lovemaking. So it's got a lot of applications. And earlier I said, you know, it can help with connection, with arousal. THC is a bronchodilator, but it also increases blood pressure to some degree, heart rate to some degree. So it actually lowers blood pressure. So it gets that heart rate moving, and that means more blood flow to the genitals, to the heart, to the whole body. So it can improve tactile sensation. People who love cannabis find it in things like music or stars or comedy movies. So by that same token, it improves sex. Like, it makes all the good things even better.
I love that. And I've never thought about using cannabis in that way to enhance everything. And how else does the body respond to cannabis?
So as well as improving blood flow, it can help people to relax, especially if the strain has enough CBD. CBD is the compound that can help with the relaxation. So especially for someone new to cannabis, a really high THC product may not bring the relaxation piece, the anti-anxiety piece. So, you know, something like a 1-to-1 or even more like a CBD two parts one part THC, a 2-to-1, something like that, or 4-to-1 for someone who's quite anxious, with a little THC still present, can help people to really shave off the distractions in our minds that can prevent us from being present and relaxed with our partner or with ourselves if we're doing self-love, you know, sexuality. You certainly don't need a partner for cannabis-enhanced sex. So yeah, it moves blood around. It helps us to relax. It improves tactile sensation. It can be used kind of as foreplay. And some people suggest that it can increase, you know, vaginal lubrication. And that may be when you use the product topically on the vulva or on the genitals to increase, you know, pleasure and lubrication. So there's a lot of, you know, cannabis-enhanced lubes on the market or bath products that's like a bath salt. It would still be a topical application. It would be going, you know, on the mucous membranes that are in the water. So it can really help with any kind of pain as well that people may have that prevent sexual pleasure, pelvic pain or anal, you know, pain if people are using anal play. So using cannabis can help the body to relax and improve pleasure for people who have pain.
I never thought about that. I sell Pure Romance and we have a CBD lubricant, and I never thought about anything other than like with pelvic pain. I didn't think about like the natural lubrication aspects or even the relaxation. And that is a wonderful idea. So like, especially for women who have like vaginismus or like vaginal spasms, like what a great idea. I'll have to remember that.
For people who are, you know, new to cannabis, it's always important to start with a low dose, you know, start low and go slow. You can always add more as you go. So that's always, cannabis is, it's an amazing medicine, but whenever people have ill effect, it often is related to too strong a dose.
That makes sense. And so like right now I am in Ohio. However, sometimes I live in California. For people who don't live in a environment where they have easy access to CBD, cannabis, THC products, how do you go about getting this?
Well, it, you know, depends on your state. If you're allowed to grow your own, for example, you can make amazing medicines at home, tinctures, topicals, lubes. You can make lubes at home, you know, but to get the medicine in a state that you can't get the medicine, unfortunately, that's propaganda right there. CBD is available in you know, but it's been shown that whole plant medicine is more ideal, having some amount of the THC compound and the other compounds. So if all you have is CBD, well, enjoy the CBD and sign all the petitions and go to all the protests so that we can allow THC to be federally legalized as well, because it's just as medicinal. But CBD is a great place to start for people who only have access to hemp-based products. But if you can grow your own or access a whole plant medicine that has THC and the other cannabinoids like CBN, CBG, you know, the terpenes, the more kind of the whole plant that was, you know, that's how we evolved to consume it. We weren't really taking, you know, isolated molecules, and we weren't really, I mean, we may have been using hemp. So I think it looks as though that the ancient relationship may be a 1-to-1 ratio. So nowadays, when we smoke most weed, the THC is like 80% and 1% CBD. So in that regard, we're smoking a lot stronger stuff than our ancestors did. So if you want to get, you know, kind of back in tune with how it maybe used to be, 1-to-1 is suggested, you know. So people who have too much THC could probably benefit from more CBD. And if you're able to add a little THC to your, you know, everyone should try to find a little bit more balance.
That makes sense. Did you see the new Seth Rogen podcast episode about how cannabis and marijuana is the... But basically, the reason why it's not legalized is because it's not a white person's drug.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that. I didn't see his podcast, but I really like him. He's one of the people, you know, if you could pick 5 celebrity stoners to imbibe with, he'd be one of them for sure. And politically, cannabis has, you know, here in the U.S. and throughout the world, a history of racism, and whether it's anti-Latinx, you know, when people started to say like lazy Mexicans and all these racial stereotypes in conjunction with cannabis, or when Black civil rights activists were getting together using cannabis as they discussed political change and revolution, both of those racial groups were targeted by, you know, white, our police force, and it was interwoven with racism. So a lot of the propaganda and people's false beliefs about cannabis are tied into racism. So we really need to look at that, especially those of us that are benefiting from using cannabis, especially if we make cannabis products, we're you know, part of that cannabis industry, myself included. We need to educate ourselves about how, you know, yeah, how racist the cannabis industry is, and how when you look to prison rates, just the amount of people of color that are put in prison for cannabis versus white people, it's astounding, even though the usage is actually the same. So in a way, Seth Rogen's not fully correct, because white people do use it as much as people of color. We're just not locked away for it at the same rates. It's interesting. I mean, it's sad.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sad reality of our world right now, which is just unfortunate. So if somebody is new to getting into using cannabis for sexual practices, where do they start? How do they set up like a practice? What does this look like?
Yeah, so first question is, where is the person's curiosity? Are they curious about smoking? Are they curious about bongs or joints? Do they prefer vaping? Maybe they don't want the smoke, or maybe they don't want to inhale at all. They prefer edibles, or as we talked about earlier, topicals and lubes. So first kind of figuring out how you want to imbibe, and you can try all the different ways, but on this first time, or how do you want to take it? And to really take a moment to do some research and educate about, you know, the pros and cons of various consumption methods. They all kind of have positives and negatives. For example, edibles take so long to kick in that some people don't feel anything for 45 minutes or 60 minutes. So you kind of have to time them right if you want it to impact sexuality. And sometimes people overconsume on edibles, waiting for them to kick in, thinking they didn't work, take too much, and then don't feel well. So guilty so many times. So a beginner to edibles, I'd say, you know, 5 milligrams at most, just to start. And that's the good thing about legalization, is that everything's packaged and it has the milligrams, so we can really have that accountability. It's great to make your own and stuff too. I think we always should, but you know, taking your neighbor's random brand, you don't know what you're going to feel in an hour or two. So it might not be conducive to lovemaking. And for beginners, I also recommend potentially using the cannabis product alone, even if you have a partner, just for the first time, just, you know, with masturbation, with self-love, with yoga, kind of just feeling like, okay, so that way I'm practicing getting into that altered state, you know, if I'm using THC, especially CBD, way less so, but THC, kind of getting into the altered state on my own potentially, and then and turning myself on, coupling sexuality with cannabis before sharing it with a partner is something I would recommend. It's not required, but just that you get that kind of familiarity. Because for people who've never experienced it, it is an altered state. It's different from alcohol. It's different from coffee. It's its own unique kind of semi-psychedelic thing. So it's, if anyone's nervous, it might make sense to do it, you know, or with someone who's done it before, potentially, so they can kind of guide you through and how, am I puffing right? Am I taking enough? Not enough? And someone can say, oh, this is normal. What you're, you know, make sure there's water handy. Make sure you're in a safe space. You feel good. I don't recommend first timers use cannabis, you know, on a date with someone they don't know very well, or that kind of thing. You want to feel really psychologically safe. It's because it can exacerbate any precondition, and any, like I said, THC can exacerbate any anxiety you might be carrying. So the more relaxed you can be, even before meeting up with your partner, if you're going to do it with your partner, the better.
I feel like this would be partnered really well with a self-pleasuring practice, or like a self-pleasure meditation.
Definitely. Yeah. At the beginning of the pandemic, I offered like a guided sort of audio course on, you know, tantra-based self-love. And it's not all the way into masturbation. It's sort of a foreplay for masturbation, but it's quite a long course. You learn tantra as you do these, you know, tickle your chest and feel yourself. You're kind of waking up your whole body's ability to feel like an erogenous zone or a genital. A lot of sex here in our culture, and you know, maybe around the world as well, is influenced by porn, which is very genital based, very orgasm based, and as kind of quick as possible, as little foreplay as possible sometimes. So tantra and other mindful, you know, sacred sex practices encourage us to slow down and, yeah, sort of touch our face and, how does that feel when I'm high on cannabis? And I'm kind of starting to get less obsessed with just getting the orgasm as fast as possible, and rather focusing on creating as much pleasure as possible. So that course has kind of got a sassy title. It's Go F Yourself. But it's because we usually use that phrase in a negative, you know, go fuck yourself. And this is, no, I want you to go do it to yourself. And it's a spiritual effing and a psychological effing and a physical effing. So yeah, it's a Go F Yourself course.
I love that. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was curious about what that course was. And I think that you're absolutely right that we think of Go F Yourself and we think negatively, but really being able to have that opportunity and moment with yourself is really powerful and a great time to bond with yourself.
Definitely. And we all ought to, even if we already have a partner, we have regular partnered sex, taking that time, especially women and women, you know, identified people, the orgasm rate is far higher for women who masturbate and have partnered sex versus women who don't masturbate and have partnered sex. We seem to have more partnered orgasms when we masturbate. And it's not that surprising because we know what we like. We know how to, you know, communicate that more easily to our partner. So if you don't know what you like, how are you supposed to share what you like? And then how's our partner supposed to get us off? So definitely advocate for masturbation or self-love. And it's a great place to sort of slow down that kind of porn dictated rush to orgasm. And, you know, even, okay, I'm getting closer, but I'm going to take my hands off of my genitals. I'm going to do 3 breaths. I'm really turned on, but I'm not going to rush to it. And these 3 breaths might lower my arousal. I might wonder, did I lose my orgasm? But there's sort of this trust that I'm building more and more pleasure the more I kind of can build it up and take a rest and build it up and take a rest. And then my container for pleasure grows. And then, wow, if and when I do orgasm, whew, it's a big pot of pleasure ready to explode.
I love that. And I was reading about that in Emily Nagowski's Come As You Are book, The Extended Orgasm. And I love that, using that technique. So if somebody was to start using cannabis with their sexual practices, what would they really expect from this experience?
Yeah, that's a tricky one because cannabis does impact everyone differently, whether it's the strain, the consumption methods are different, the dosing is different, right? But even if you and I did the exact same strain, the exact same consumption method, we both vaped or inhaled, and the same dose, we're going to feel it different depending on our mood that day, our diet, how our stress levels. So it doesn't even impact me the same way twice, the same person. You know, how my blue dream hit me yesterday might be different from how my blue dream strain hits me today. So kind of inviting people to release expectation to some degree. Or I heard this lemon strain gets people really turned on. Well, it might not work for you. You might need a different strain. So I invite people to be open and try a couple different strains, you know, not all on the same day, but how does this one impact my sexuality? How does that one? You know, be open to almost like it's a whole new world of experimentation. You could keep a little journal. Okay, so I used this one and I didn't really get in my body. I felt kind of distracted. Okay, well, that might be a better one for hikes or something. You know, well, this one really got me wanting to relax. Okay. Or that one was too sleepy. I was too relaxed. And kind of starting to play with which strains work for the person. But in general, when you find your strain, it's sort of this beautiful marriage of relaxation meets, I don't know, psychedelic or trippy or fun, euphoric. So you're relaxed and you're kind of euphoric in a good amount of both. But too relaxed, you don't feel like having sex. Too much hyper psychedelic might not be connecting, or it might be too like, wow, the leaves are vibrating. So we kind of want to find a middle ground. And I find that cannabis is a really great substance for that.
Yes. Now, have you ever experimented with alternative, like psychedelics?
Yeah, I have as well, both for yoga and sexuality. Here in Oakland and as well as in Colorado, psilocybin magic mushrooms have been decriminalized. So a cannabis is like the first, it is the gateway drug in a way, not as they said in the Reagan era, DARE anti-marijuana campaigns. It's the gateway drug. You're going to be shooting crack into your eyeballs. Most cannabis users don't shoot crack into their eyeballs, you know? So that part's not true, but it does kind of gateway into like talking about, well, wait, if cannabis has medical properties, what about other plant medicines or even non-plants? We can even begin to question the dichotomy of, you know, a human-made molecule like LSD or ketamine or MDMA. These are not plants, but they have huge therapeutic value. And cannabis can be abused. Any of the things I just said could be abused, but, you know, so can sex, so can Netflix, so can Instagram, so can ice cream, exercise. Everything that brings us pleasure could be a place we escape, something even healthy like exercise. So, of course, we want to be mindful and aware of, and cannabis isn't going to solve our every issue. We still need therapy and journaling and meditation. We can't expect cannabis to be a silver bullet that's going to take all our problems away. It might feel like, wow, for a second, but, you know, that's the addictive cycle. We really have to realize it's just a tool. It's not the only tool. So I'm really excited about mushrooms becoming decriminalized and beginning these conversations, and universities like Johns Hopkins showing like ketamine and MDMA are huge for post-traumatic stress disorder. So starting to, take away some of our judgments around these white powders. It's all part of the same conversation. Whatever helps people feel whole and good in this short time we have, I'm all for it.
Yes. And there's so much research coming out about MDMA, specifically with mental health and PTSD, ketamine with depression, severe depression. There's a use for a lot of these different substances. And I'm glad that we're opening up this platform to talk about this more, because I think that there needs to be a little bit more awareness about how it can impact you. And you can't judge people for what they choose to include in their life, because it can make a huge difference. And it's, who are we to judge what substances people want to try? I actually am going to an ayahuasca retreat here in July, and I'm really looking forward to that experience.
Nice. Yeah. See, that's a medicine that might not be suited for sexuality, because you are in an extreme altered state. So it's not like all medicines are necessarily going to be used. I mean, maybe a lower dose. I've never done it. Each medicine has a kind of different thing that it's really good for. Ayahuasca's, I've never been turned on. I don't even feel my body, let alone my genitals, when I'm on ayahuasca. I'm in another galaxy. So it might be hard to relate to a partner on that medicine at the dose that is usually taken for Sarah, but it's got so many other profound benefits, And then we can come back to our partner after an ayahuasca or a similar type of retreat, even if, without substances, a silent vipassana, a silent meditation retreat that also produces an altered state. So whatever our path, we can bring that, those new expansions, those new ways to our partner if we have one, and have sex after psychedelics, and if not on them, and it can still be really profound and useful.
I love that. So is there anything else that you really want to share about cannabis and sexual practice, or anything else that kind of comes to mind?
Well, we spoke about this briefly, but I do think it's important that we start to release shame around it. And, not everyone has the privilege to be out of the closet. Parents in certain states might not be putting it out on their Instagram that they're using cannabis for sex if the state they're in can, if they could lose their kid. But those of us that are in states where we can have more privilege to talk about it, and, or the type of job where we're not going to lose our job if we talk about it, we should be the voice. If you have privilege, you need to, that's a responsibility, whether it's racial privilege or the privilege of using cannabis. So we need to fight for those in states that can't speak up, can't access the medicine. I want everyone who wants to use cannabis to have access to it. So that's the first thing, is to, if you're able to come out of the closet, then the green closet, as they say, then do. And also to know that you don't have to, if you can't, if you don't want to tell your friends, or you don't have to share about it, but to let go of shame. We've all been conditioned to feel, especially in, the ganja yoga community, the cannabis enhanced yoga community. I mean, a lot of my students say they felt shamed, internal shame for using cannabis for yoga. They felt like they're cheating, they're bypassing the work. It makes meditation kind of more easy to get into. So they felt like they're cheating. And so just to let go of that, that's all just sort of part of propaganda, whether it's racist pop propaganda or using it for sex or spiritual purposes. We can really let go of that and like, wait, is it hurting me? Maybe I am abusing it. Maybe I need to be more mindful and reduce my frequency, but maybe not. Maybe there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And to just actually ask ourselves that. And so letting go of shame, whether we can be out of the closet or not, I think is one thing I would always want to add. And I mentioned the dosing earlier. That's also really important, to start with a low dose for a beginner. And yeah, to manage our expectations, to be open-minded, so we don't always have to demand cannabis. I heard you're going to make me relax. Why aren't you relaxing me? Cannabis, it's almost like an apprentice. We're learning about the plant. The more we respect it and let it in and kind of have this humble relationship, the more it's going to serve us, because it was around a lot longer than we were. The early cannabis plant was, I think, 90 million years old, and Homo, I get my Homos mixed up, but one, whatever made us human is, Homo sapien, I think. I'm not an anthropologist, but I remember reading that, it's 90, that's 30 million, so it's essentially 30 times older than we are, from 90 million to 30 million. So we have to honor that it was here a lot longer than we were, similar to psilocybin. And probably when we were apes or becoming human, we would be eating all kinds of things, right? Mushrooms. We would be trying all the plants. And of course, what we eat would change our brains. So there is this whole idea that even cannabis is what, and mushrooms is what opened up our, you know, prefrontal cortex and got us to have these sort of higher types of thoughts, like the consumption of cannabis. That's a theory, of course, you know, that psychedelics are even what created our evolution, but they've been with us the whole time. So whether that's true or not, they have been with us the whole time. And so to have that kind of respectful attitude, and some people can take it quite, make an altar with your rolling tray, put your crystals on your rolling tray, and you can make very ceremonial if you want to, right? Or it can be more of a pragmatic ceremony. But the more, yeah, we have reverence, the better the effects. Intention creates the effect as much as the medicine does. So if I'm smoking my joint on Instagram, I'm not really present. I might not feel the medicine in the same way. It might feel kind of scatterbrained. But if I sit and just look at a tree and smoke and breathe, I'm going to just feel it hitting me. And I'm part of that experience. I'm there intending that experience. So definitely to slow down as we smoke up and just really be mindful of it.
I love that. And you're absolutely right that setting intentions is really beneficial with a lot of different practices, but it really helps you get in. And what is your goal of what are you trying to do? Are you trying to help relax? What are you looking for? And it helps just the experience, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. I think those are the main things that I would add, you know, that I would share. That you can see I'm passionate about the topic, so I could talk about it for a while.
Yes. And I love that. And I'm so glad that we are able to do this recording together so that I can share this with my community, because I think that I know a lot of people in my community use cannabis, but I don't know that they've ever considered using it in this way for a sexual practice and the benefits that it could have. So I'm really excited about this conversation. If the listeners take one thing away from today's discussion, what would you hope it is?
That's tricky. There's so many good things to take away. That intentionality piece is huge. So maybe it's that. Yeah, I think there's letting go of shame. There's being aware of dose. But I do think, you know, having an intentionality for whatever substance we're using. So we're not just taking substances without thinking, you know, unconsciously, but to choose, I'm going to choose this. And this is what I hope to feel. This is why I'm taking it. Not demanding that it's going to meet my expectations, but may this medicine, if that phrase feels good, or may this weed help me relax. But you could just think it. You don't have to say it, but you could say it. But may this do something for me, and may I be a part of that so that we're doing it together. So I think intentionality is something we could all use a lot more of in our world that's so fast-paced and so unconscious. So that's something that I would invite listeners to bring in as much as possible.
I love that. And the more intention I've set in my life, the way more present I have become. And especially like with COVID, I really started adding intentionality to my lifestyle, and it makes a huge difference. So I agree with you. Incorporating that is huge. So where can the listeners find you at?
So my main website is Ganja Yoga, and that's where we can find, I have a subscription-based service so people can watch Ganja Yoga classes on demand. I have the teacher training, so if anyone wants to become a Ganja certified teacher. And then my personal website, my name, DDuso, has more information about my sex coaching practice. I do virtual and in-person sessions around San Francisco. I'm vaccinated. We can go back to in-person, which is so nice. So yeah, so people can find information about that kind of more tantra and sexuality on my personal website, but both are great resources. And then I'm Ganja Yoga on Instagram, and I post there a few times a day. I also have a YouTube channel called Ganja Yoga. So a couple of different places to find me, as well as my Ganja Yoga book. So yeah.
Beautiful. And I will be sure to tag all of those in the show notes. That way everybody can find you. Where can they find the Go F Yourself course or series?
Yeah. So that can be found from the ganjayoga.com site. I think probably the DDuso site too, but definitely on the ganjayoga.com site. And it's a 12-hour course. Each section is 2 hours long. So it's a 2-hour kind of guided meditation. There's 6 of them. So you could do one per day for 6 days or one per week for 6 weeks. And at the end, I feel like you'll have a really good foundation on what Eastern practice of tantra is. It's about much more than sex, but it is a tantric sort of sexy self-love meditation course.
I love that. And I think I'm going to have to go check that out. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me here today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today.
By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.